Welcome to LeagueCast.
Welcome to episode 631 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm Nick. Joining me is Aiden.
Hey, how's it going?
And Colton.
Hello.
Hello, indeed. It is a fine Tuesday. We've got one new patron this week. A little bit of LeagueCast news. A tiny bit of new news. We'll have a fun little weekly discussion slash game. And then we'll move into probably roundtable and finish up the emails that we didn't get to last week. Aiden, how was your week?
I played so little League, man. I played some normals. But that was kind of it. It was fun, though. The normals are fun. I think we won most of them.
Normals are fun. I'm having a good time with them.
Especially when you're winning them, right?
Yeah. When you're losing normals, not fun.
Yeah. Other than that, though, just Maple Story and Final Fantasy Rebirth. Fucking loving that game. That game's so much fun,
nice.
Dude.
I read my relation with 70 hours in.
Yeah, I'm like 20, I think, which isn't too bad.
It's a lot.
My relationship with it is so weird, though, because, like, slight spoiler from the first one, very minor. The game changed a little bit from like the original. Which, as my relationship with someone who didn't play the original in 1997, because I was 1 year old, it's hard to decipher what's changed and what's not. And I after I finished playing for like a couple hours, I like watched like a playthrough of the 1997 game.
Yeah.
not on 5x speed to like see what's different. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know if that's different or not.
Did you find a lot that was different or just a little bit?
There's some stuff. It's good though. Highly recommend it to anyone. It's like, it's really good, man. It's nice. Crazy that you can turn a 1997 game into a 3-part series.
Yeah.
But I love it, man. It's great.
Is it just that the original game was so long, or are they adding like?
I mean, the original was really long. It was on two discs.
That's right? Fair. Yeah.
But like, it definitely just expanded in every single way. Like every single part of it's just been expanded. Like it's nice. It's fun though. It's great. And that's also good. They have their fucking own card game in it, which is a really good card game.
I like when games do that well. I feel like it's kind of hard, but like apparently people really like Gwent in The Witcher.
Yeah, there's like 700 mini games in this fucking game, but the card game is like the thing they fully fleshed out. Holy fuck, it's a good card game.
That's sick.
That's kind of my week. What about you, Colton?
My week. I really haven't been playing that much of anything. I probably actually have been playing a ton of League, even though I say that. Yeah, I still played a ton of League, even though I feel like I haven't played a lot of League. For me, the balance is
the bar is so high.
Yeah, right. Like if I'm playing less than 40 games a week, that's not very much League. Ranked has been going pretty well. I think I'm like plus 2 or 3 games from last show. I'm at 171 points. Looking forward to hopefully continuing to win more games than I lose. Like Aiden had mentioned, we played a bunch of normals yesterday, which was a lot of fun. Got to do some silly stuff. Got to abuse how fucking broken Bloodsong is. We can talk about that later in the show. But
maybe support is broken.
I think support's a little overtuned. I think there are definitely some legitimate issues with it that could be addressed. I think in particular Bloodsong is like the most problematic, probably followed by Zaxax.
I mean, just all the support items just seem really, really strong for.
Yeah, they are really good.
Essentially, a free, you
know, negative 600 gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably should be quite weaker.
Yeah, but I think we can talk about that a little bit later in the show. But that's about it for my week. Nick, how about you?
You know, I played the games with you guys. It was really fun. Got to do a bunch of cool stuff. Hoping to see Dune this week. I don't know if you guys have seen it or are interested in it, but
I'm going to be seeing it this Saturday.
Ooh, that's pretty fun. Otherwise, more Path of Exile. I think that's just about it. I feel like I'm missing something, but if it comes to me, I'll come back to it. So fastest our weeks ever. Let's get into the show. Shout out to our newest patron, Suda Simps for Kaisa. Thank you for your support. Do we have any LeagueCast news?
Nothing too crazy. I've been slowly generating more custom game ideas. I still haven't been super in the mood to play like a ton of League, but I've been generating some new crazy ideas for League custom games.
He has one that is one that
I'll say that one because I don't think it's ever like fucking has to change the game for it to work. But like I've come up with like a lot of good ones, but one that I think is going to be fucking great, but it requires Riot to let us play All for One. Colton, you'll like this. So it's All for One, right? Everyone's Kai'Sa, and you do like a snake draft for items. So like the 10 players, like one for it would be like one person from team one, second person, one first, one person from team two, and then second person from team one, and you do a snake draft of every single item like that you're allowed to build, right? So like as soon as like Rage Blade is drafted, no one else in the game is allowed to build Rage Blade.
And is that going to be per character or per team?
Per character.
Okay, yeah. So, like, every Kai'Sa has a unique 6 items.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, God, that'd be so fun.
And I was, like, trying to, like, min-max, like, what character. I think Kai'Sa's the right character to do it on. I think other characters, like, can do it, but it would be, like, more gimmicky. Like, I think Katarina could do it, but, like, I think some of her builds are, like, obviously just way stronger than others. And it's just, like, Kai'Sa, I think, is the perfect character, and it'd be so much fucking fun, I think.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I was thinking, like, maybe Jax, but then I think you get, like, really good Jax build and really, really bad Jax build. And that's probably like the two sides of the coin, you know?
I also like the idea of like, there's only 7 pairs of boots in the game, like completed boots. So the first 7 Kai'Sas to choose to build boot, like draft boots, get full boots. And then the other Kai'Sas can build brown boots if they want, but they can never upgrade them.
But are boots even worth it in your build? Like,
yeah, how does that even, and it's like, and like if you're gonna draft boots, then you're not drafting another item. Yeah, like
are you gonna take Berserker's Greaves and give them Nashor's Tooth?
Yeah,
I think it would be so. I think I could play that like maybe 10 times.
That sounds really fun, for sure.
So, hopefully, Riot lets us do that at some point.
Well, they won't. So
God, they won't. Yeah, it's fine.
There'd be so many fun fucking things you could do if there was more customization options. I was just when he mentioned that, I don't know why I immediately went to the idea of like a game mode that would really only work in person. And the thought is that like you have a team of 6 people, and like when somebody dies, your 6th member takes over on that character on that computer. And you can't take that character back until you've played on every other character, right? So like if our Tristana dies and like our sub subs in, our Tristana player can't play that until they've like played all the other characters on our team. Or maybe they could. Like the idea of just like you're gonna have to play all 5 characters this game.
Yeah.
And deal with whatever like wave state it's in or whatever lane.
I like the idea of it just like auto swapping like whoever dies like immediately to whoever's on the bench, and like you in theory you can get your Riven player back on Riven, but your player who has to kill themselves immediately.
I like that too.
Yeah, that would be a funny strategy. Like we gotta get our Riven one trick back.
Well, so, no one else can play Akali.
Gift 300 gold.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, League would be so fun if we had custom game tools.
Yeah. That'll never happen.
Okay. Do you want to talk about stuff that maybe will happen?
Yeah, let's do it.
And this is in regards to, oh my God, they might remove the reroll system in League of Legends. So there was some drama this past week where there was some Twitter interactions from Spider Axe. He's asking about like the Neopax skins and when they like go into like rotation and when they come back to like the Mythic shop rotations and stuff like that. Very normal conversation. This conversation was being held with Drew Levin, who is the product and strategy lead on Riot Games League of Legends. And then there was a question from like a random person in Twitter who said, hey, when is Neopax Sivir going on reroll? Reroll, for those who don't know, in League of Legends, they have the disenchant, like, what's that? What's the system called? Like the loot system, I guess is what you call it. Yeah,
like the crafting loot system.
Yeah. And one thing you can do with that system is if you get 3 skin shards, you can reroll them into a new skin, right? Like full skin. Mm-hmm. Very, very cool. The thing that some people might not know is that if you have every skin in League of Legends, if you reroll 3 skin shards, it gives you just like the newest content, right? So if they do a release of 5 new skins and you have 15 skin shards, guess what? You can get all 5 new skins just by rerolling your shit without buying anything, right? And so the person asked, hey, when is Neopax Sivir going on reroll? And he responded with, I genuinely want us to stop putting our stuff in rerolls. I think it's bad from system clarity, and it muddies what the point of the system even is. Which, immediately stirred outrage. But he actually, I think just before we get into like the, he said some like other stuff that I don't agree with, but like overall, I think his point here is good. He goes in to say, rerolls as an emergent property of the duplicate protection program of loot, but also adding all new loot created this bizarre system where there's a particular discount on all content forever, and the most efficient path to all future content is buying stuff that you don't use. And then he goes on to say, here's a few more thoughts. For anyone who hasn't been playing League forever and read every wiki and Reddit thread, it's incomprehensible. There's a bunch of currencies that you're supposed to optimize what you do and what you don't disenchant. Try to explain that to a new player. Yes, it's a discount, but in general, it's better... It's better if ways of getting value for your money is more straightforward than press 800 buttons and receive a discount. I'm not arguing against the against value for money. I'm arguing against clarity in creating clear paths and getting what you're after. Right now, we give out in Champion Mastery up to 50 shards a year. If you buy all the passes and level 50 them, taking last year's pass, for example, you get 10 from the pass, 10 from tokens, so 20 shards per. And if we do 5 a year, that's 150 shards equals 50 skins for 8,250 RP playing each week. So it's his point, to distill it down, is that the optimal ways to maximize the skins that you get are not clear to the average player, right? And that is a bad system. And part of that bad system is this reroll protection type system where if you are a whale in the game and you buy every skin, you then have somehow unlocked a permanent discount for the game. And his issue isn't the value for money in this initial like tweet thread. It's the fact that how the fuck would a new player ever know to do this? Like, it feels like you're breaking the system by knowing the ins and outs of it, right?
I don't know. I don't know if I... so obviously, like, yeah, it's too convoluted, but I mean, at some point, like, I don't think it's that complex. Like, I don't know. And if you have all the skins, like, maybe you should get rewarded for a permanent discount for spending however much money you've spent, right? Like, I don't know. I definitely understand his perspective. It's just weird to call it complex when, like, that's the system that you guys made. And I don't even think it's that necessarily complex compared to like some other games.
Yeah, I don't think it's particularly complex either. It's right, like, it's, hey, it's cheaper to upgrade a skin shard than to just purchase a skin. It is, right, like, that's a pretty easy thing to understand, is that, like, hey, you got a random drop that gives you a discount. And that if you apply that in mass, that if you only ever get skins from like skin shards or rerolls, that discounted rate will apply better, so you're better off spending your RP in ways to get you more skin shards rather than just purchasing skins.
Yeah, I just think that his point is that he would rather it just be more efficient just to buy the skins that you want rather than have this weird system.
Like, it is, right? Because like this system only works if you're willing to buy 1,000 skins that you're not going to use.
Yeah.
I think the system is pretty fine. I do think it is kind of lame for those like very few whales in the game where it's like, oh, even though you've purchased literally every skin available in our shop, like, you don't have a chance to reroll into this one because we want to keep it exclusive. It's like, let the guy who put 10 grand in the League of Legends have this skin. You want to retain that player. And it doesn't negatively impact, like, anyone, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, it doesn't negatively impact their amount of money that they get from it, but I understand your point, right? So, like, there's a follow-up tweet, which I think is the more contentious point, which you guys have already read into his opinions. Like, I found that first thread not, like, offensive at all, and I do agree with a lot of it. The second one, which I think upset more people, was is responding to another person asking about, like... removing that system, yada yada yada. He says, I think it's harder for me to wrap my head around spending X thousand of dollar gives you a perpetual 70% discount on all future content. Nowhere and nothing else in the world does this, and it wasn't an intentional design choice. I hear you on valuing it. It's just tough for me personally to get my head around. Which, once again, I think systematically, as his job just being a production manager and like, designing stuff, I think there's a lot of attacks on his person, by the way, just so that's why I'm kind of like stepping off a little bit, is like, I think he's just trying to make the system make sense and work and create good business for the company that he works for, right? And the current system is messy, ugly, and does lead to, you have whales, which you can, we can have a whole this other discussion about, like, is it okay to, like, harvest the whales of the ocean in your game? But it does, it is a system where your whales only get so fat. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Even the point that, like, this doesn't exist in other systems, I think is just completely off base. Like, I think most systems eventually end up working like that, right? Like, even fucking housing, right? Like, obviously we're not at a point where any of us are buying like hundreds of thousands of properties, but like, you get to a certain scale, yeah, you are actually going to get them at like a way better price because of your ability to buy in mass. Like clothing, right? You buy enough fucking designer clothes and you're famous, eventually they'll just give it to you for free. Like, I think that applies to most industries where it's like, if you are enough of a whale, yeah, eventually you're going to start getting shit for free. Or for a discount.
Yeah, it's weird because like you were saying it, and I totally understand not wanting to make a product and then people have instant access to it for a reduced like cost, right? Like, that really sucks. But like, what is the alternative? Like, you just don't reroll skins ever, and if you have all the skins, like, go fuck yourself?
I would assume they'd just make it so like it's a system where if you have all the skins, yeah, like newer content's gated or something like that.
What's the alternative for these players, right? Like, these players aren't going anywhere. They've spent a ton of money on your game, and like, okay, you want to like potentially milk whoever you can, not milk because that's a negative connotation, but like, you want to charge what you think is fair for like, for the products you're offering, right? Like, that's totally fine. Like, what happens then? What happens to these players who own everything already? Like, do they just not participate in the crafting system at all, period?
Probably. I think, like, once again, I'm going to speak from his point of view, right? Like, because I do think it's a little lopsided, is I think, like, his job is to make, like, systems where you, like, feel like you're getting value out of your money, right? And his point is that he would rather you spend the money, and I want to spend $10 on this Blitzcrank skin because I really like Blitzcrank and that's how I want to spend money, rather than you spend your money on this system that, oh, I'm spending this money on this system because I want to get future skins at this discount, right? Like, that's not what the system was intended to do. I don't know. I kind of understand it, like, at a fundamental level.
Yeah.
I don't think it should be changed, because I don't think it's that big of a deal, especially as someone who obviously is a consumer of the game. I've definitely at times I've been like, man, I'm not too far away from putting in, like, a grand and getting every skin, and then every other skin the rest of the game is 70% off. That being said, I understand if your job is to make this a better system, it probably is frustrating that probably someone else before you put in the system and has created this problem for you.
Yeah, for sure. Like, that sucks for sure. No one's gonna contest that, I guess. I just find it hard to believe that people are like, oh, I'll spend another $1,000 so everything is cheaper then. But, I mean, maybe that's how people are viewing
it. I literally thought that. Like, that's what I'm saying. I literally, like, am not too far. I have, like, 1,100 skins or something like that, right? And there's, like, 1,400 in the game or 1,500 in the game. Like, I've definitely thought about it, but, like, fuck, if I was worse with my money, I could easily spend $1,000 and then have everything and then every other skin. Like, I buy passes, and that's all I have to do to get every skin that ever comes out for the rest of time. Like, including mythic skins, which are, like, supposed to be, like, they're expensive behind paywall skins, right?
I guess. So is your thought process then, like, I am saving money in the long run on future skins? Or is it, like, I own everything and that's, like, I'll have a chance to continue to own everything?
Yeah, I guess, like, from my consumer perspective, when I thought about doing that, it was very much like I can own everything and then anything that comes out in the future will be, like, cheap and not expensive and I'll feel good about buying it, right? Where versus I'm not buying, spending $1,000, let's just say I spend $1,000 to do this. I'm not doing it because I want anything individually. I just want the lot, right?
Yeah, or like, you just want, like, a couple things individually, and those would be part of it. I think, you know, that's, again, a very generally well-known marketing thing, is that if you put, like, the thing somebody wants into a big bundle and make the bundle an attractive price, they will buy all of it, right? Like, if Nick wants hamburger, and he can buy hamburger for $5, or hamburger plus drink and fries for like $7, he's probably going to get the combo, right? So if I can get like, and again, like, the scales are a little off here, but it's just right. Like I can get 10 skins that I want for, you know, $80, or I can get 10 skins I want and 100 more skins I want for like $300. Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. Like maybe I just spent $300 on it. And like, I don't know, from my perspective, it's like, cool, Riot Games just got more money. Like why do they not want that? This is a weird one. I think ultimately all the skins should eventually be able to reroll them. Like if you want to say like legendary and mythic skins aren't available to be rerolled into for a year or even like, I think 2 years wouldn't be crazy. Past that probably is a little much, but like,
yeah, I definitely think it's like part of the issue is that this is a system that was like abused, not abused, that was utilized not how they expected by few. And it's insane how many people like I talk to that own all the skins in League. It's not a small number.
Yeah, no, it's a lot. Yeah. It's just, I think like, and maybe the whole point is we're having trouble like thus further monetizing it. Like, and that's the issue entirely. Like that's probably it, but I don't know. It sucks. It just sucks for these players that like, I don't know, even if you went into it understanding like, okay, the system is allowing me to spend this much and have a future discount. Like that's the de facto system that's being set up. Like that's sort of, I don't know, kind of what everyone's agreed to.
Yeah. I mean, there's already drama when like they initially didn't put in the, what's it called? Skins, the $200 skins or whatever they're called.
The mythic.
Skins. Yeah. Those are actual skins. Yeah. Even though they're, I was like, no, those are chromas. They're either skins. Yeah. Cause those aren't in the reroll pool. There was some upset about that as well. Which I think is another thing. I personally understand why they don't want to put those in there. I understand why people who are already in this, I buy the season pass and then I get all my skins for free in quotation marks, want them. But it's weird. I'm sure it's not a fun place to be in for like that guy.
No, it sucks because like, I don't know. You have to hurt someone at some point in terms of like consumer policy, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting.
What if I could subscribe to League of Legends for $100 a year and I get all the skins on rental?
Yeah.
What is probably it? Go for it.
What's the price point? Funny. Is it $300 a year? Is it $500 a year? We're naming price right.
Yeah, you get like you can buy like League Unlocked or whatever like that the pros have the and streamer, shit.
Would you guys do that?
That is no. I think ultimately like what this question is coming to, right? Because like that's what these players have at this point, right? Is like they spend the 50, 80, whatever, however much it costs to buy every pass all year to like get all the content that comes out that year. Like it equates
after an initial
$4,000 investment.
Yeah, exactly.
But Colton, yeah, the issue for Riot definitely comes down to the fact that the monthly or yearly cost that they are paying is not enough in their mind, right? Because if they had to pay $300 a year, let's just say, because we know that the cost of all the passes is what, like $100 in a year or something like that, maybe like a little bit more than that. But let's just say it was like times that amount.
Okay, four.
Would Riot have more of an, like less of an issue? Probably, right? Like if these people for their upkeep had to spend $400 a year.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, yeah, it's just a question of, like, what that subscription cost would be.
Yeah, I also think that, like, they could also pretty easily adjust for this if they wanted to. Like, they could take out the reroll system and have all of the, you disenchant all your shards, and then you can buy, like, a random skin of a certain tier, right, for a number of blue essence, right? So if I want, like, a cheap shitty skin like green Malphite, maybe that like that would be included in like the 400 orange essence reroll pool, and then these ones would be like, yeah, that's going to cost you 5,000 orange essence to like reroll into that pool. And like,
yeah, I mean Colton, I think you probably nailed it just from like someone who's like a little bit in the industry is like that's probably how they will rework the system at some point, right? It will go from being a reroll thing to, oh, when you disenchant skin shards, they go into orange essence, and now you can buy skins with orange essence, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like now the ratios are all fucking lucky.
Can buy a ticket that has like a certain bundle of skins that's available, right? And so if you want to make those eventually available. Yeah, the bundle that has like Neopak Sivir in it, it is the one that costs 50,000 orange essence.
Yeah.
Right? And then like they have that for blue essence already with like the fucking Urfwick skin and the like badges that cost like 250,000 blue essence.
You know what? I'm down for it. It definitely makes it less confusing to then have a ticket that only lets you buy certain skins and there's no explanation for it. But like, I understand. I agree. I think that's great. No, it's just like,
I mean, I think you're complicating. I think like if they redo the system, Nick, it probably will just be that instead of rerolling, you just disenchant your stuff and then you can just buy skins with orange essence, right? Which is a way more clear system that accomplishes what they want to do and allows them to readjust to be less consumer friendly. That's probably what will happen because it checks every single box that we just talked about.
Yeah.
Riot Games, feel free to send me a check.
Cool.
All right.
What now?
Well, that was new news. Do we want to talk about some bi-weekly topics?
Yeah, why don't you talk about Grasp Zillion first? I feel like that was interesting.
It's very good, at least right now. I don't know. I haven't seen anything that they're making changes to make it less possible, but between proccing Grasp, I'd say like a reasonable number of times, and the amount of gold you get from like support item, laning, etc. If you go first item Warmogs with Grasp Zillion, you can have enough health when you finish it to like have it procced, right? So that's like one caveat where I think a lot of people are like get tripped up immediately. It's like, oh, why do you buy Warmogs first item? Like, it's not going to proc until you have a second item. Depends on the situation. You know, if you're in a really, really tough lane where you're not able to proc your Grasp, I wouldn't do that. You could still like go Warmogs early, but you might have to go like lock it into Warmogs or Knight's Vow into Warmogs. But the build setup is, you know, you maximize for health in your runes. You take stuff like Grasp, Overgrowth, the scaling health runes. In lane, you focus on getting a lot of Grasp procs to increase your max health. And you have first item Warmogs on Zillion. And a lot of people are like, why do you want that? It's because Zillion's utility doesn't really scale with anything. You know, you can still get just as much CC. You can revive people. You can slow 99% or speed up 99%. Right? Ability haste kind of helps. But in a lot of situations, it really doesn't matter, and the difference between having like 20 haste and 50 haste doesn't affect that combo too much. All you need to do is be at the fight and be alive. If you have a ton of health from Warmogs, you can survive like an assassin jumping on you and not have to ult yourself. Or you can face check to ward stuff a lot more safely. You can be in the front line in fights to get a lot more bomb combos off and like actually apply slows as opposed to only speeding up your teammates. You can navigate the teammate a lot safer, and again, you know, your damage doesn't really matter. It's just about, can you slow somebody? Can you stun somebody? Can you revive your carry? I think it's super good. I was playing pretty similarly to this before kind of discovering this build, where I was still going like airy, but I would go the like movement speed, tank item, Shirelias, and then Warmogs. Because again, like that's all you really need to do is like have utility on the character and you are very, very strong.
Nice. I'm glad that Zillion is even easier to play now.
He is.
That's what we needed.
Yeah. He was really struggling.
He was having a tough time. It's hard to hit those double bombs.
The first thing I do when I wake up every single morning is thank Freak that Zillion's not popular.
Yeah.
Because I can't live in that world.
I mean, it's probably the $10 that you send him a day.
Yeah. It really adds up.
Oh, for sure. It's the salary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not like he's working for it. He just plays League of Legends 20 hours a day.
I don't know. Okay, but look at the characters that are good and look at my champion pool from previous seasons and tell me I'm not paying David Freak Turley to make Maokai, Senna, Bard good.
Dude, fucking Colt made that reference. I just want to bring it up. It's so funny. And that dude, people just hate anything that they're not. there's a thread about like free kidding Grandmaster, and like a comment that I shared was someone saying it's actually not that impressive. Anyone who doesn't have a job can hit Grandmaster.
Yeah.
They're talking about a thread where Freak, the person who works at Riot, like, dude, it makes me so and mad, man.
It's
crazy.
It's also very funny because, like, I am sure of these two things, right? One, Freak plays League of Legends during his workday work week. I'm sure that that's true sometimes.
Probably, yeah.
Two, mm-hmm. I am sure that Freak works more than 50 hours a week.
Yeah.
Right, I would venture to say on an average week he probably works more than 60 hours. Now again, like if you want to subtract out the League of Legends time, but like he's making content off the clock and streaming off the clock and explaining this shit to people off the clock. Like,
yeah, he makes fucking two-hour videos a week about patches.
I also almost think that like playing League probably to some extent is his job.
Yeah, right. Like that's like, a reasonable.
I'm not
part.
Saying like 40 hours a week should like that
clocking clock out of solo.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that counts as like his job, but I would rather him play some League than play no League, right?
Yeah, right. Like imagine a world where the balance team didn't play the game.
I mean that was the complaint before, right? Was that Freak, someone who was very vocal about these changes, he was the figurehead, and he wasn't very high elo. He was only Diamond 3 Colton last season because he didn't play enough. And like, it just shifts, man. It's whatever like needs to suit the current narrative. It's
so
gross.
They'll change it no matter what.
And I know it's different people. Like that's another thing that I understand that, but like as a hive mind, it's just gross that there will always be someone complaining.
I mean, yeah. And there's still people complaining that as a GM player, he's not good enough to balance the game. And,
oh, he's GM only playing support, and yeah, only the characters
he's never
he
been,
actually buffs.
Yeah, exactly. He's never only keeps OP, not even buffs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and these are also
do you
the
think
people
it's a conflict of interest?
These also the people who are like hard stuck fucking silver playing Nashor's Tooth, Tahm Kench, and complaining about how the game isn't balanced. It's like, yeah, because you're playing entirely wrong. Right?
Can
like
you stop actually just like attacking me.
Dude, no. There was a post on r/Tahm Kench mains, and it was like Tahm Kench support is absolutely broken.
Yeah, I saw that.
And they're doing well, and I don't want to shit on them. They're like plat one or whatever. But like they take grasp most of the time on Tahm Kench support. They have a grasp game where they take it into Janna Kai'Sa, and they like just they just hard won the game. And I'm like, it's just so gross, man.
Oh no, it's like the fucking like spectators in sports who are complaining about stuff that they just have no clue about. Right, like you would take this person is complaining about like some ruling in tennis, and if you put them on the court, they'd hold the racket the wrong way and hit it with the skinny end. Right? And it's like you don't get to be at this table a part of this conversation. You do not qualify. I don't know.
I just want people to be happy. That's like dude, I miss when people are happy about stuff. Like I remember like a couple like maybe like a year or so ago on the podcast, I was like talking about how like everyone's super negative in like League of Legends esports. Like you never see a thread where after a post-game thread where it's like someone's shit and they lost because of this player playing like shit and threw the game versus like I remember like watching like a Melee set. It was like a Mango Zane set.
Everyone's like holy shit, this is like we're in peak Melee right now.
Yeah, I remember watching the set and being like oh my god, this is like they're kind of playing sloppy, right? And then I went to the post discussion thread and it was just everyone just fucking so excited that it was like a hype set, and I'm like damn, I just miss being happy about things like this, right? And since then I've tried not to like immediately look at like the negative of things, because guess what, it's just more fun to fucking talk about stuff when you enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean you have to always like, I think there's some value, like a lot of people get value out of like critiquing things. Like, I think it's good to critique things, but like fuck man, when that's all you do, it makes you a sad person, I think.
Yeah, I have experienced that. I think a lot of people have like that one friend who's like, well, I'll say like a movie snob, and it's like you watch fucking 400 movies a year and you don't like any of them. Like what? At a certain point, man, like, okay, great that you like went to film school and you like know all this stuff and like you're critiquing all this. It's like, but like, I would like to just enjoy the movies that I watch.
It's funny. I think I'm the opposite. I think I almost never walk out of a movie not just happy about something. I think movies I'm very easily like entertained by things.
I am too. I really enjoy
it. I think it's also just very like annoying for people though.
yeah, I can see that, but like I don't know.
But I'm happy.
People who get upset because you liked something they didn't is also just like another fucking wormhole where it's like, let people enjoy things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the prime example of this is the fucking, like, still existing, like, console wars. Like, who fucking cares if you play computer or Nintendo or whatever?
Yeah, it's sad.
No, you can't have fun playing your PlayStation exclusive games because I play on Xbox.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to have fun.
So, I prepared a segment for us,
kind of. Let's do it.
And I think it will be fun. I was trying to think, what's a fun segment that we could do that doesn't, like, there's so many things I want to do, but it require, like, video, and it, we obviously are 100% audio.
Yeah.
so you can't really do, like, video things as easily, right? Or, like, whatever. But I found a way that our audience can play along, because I think they can try to guess this as well, because they don't have the knowledge, and it will be fun. So there's this game on, I saw it on YouTube Shorts, but it's definitely a TikTok thing. And we're Zoomer coded here, right, Nick?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's your favorite Zoomer slang that you say all the time right now?
I don't know. I can't even.
I was hoping
on...
you were just gonna come up with. that was good. That was good. anyways, it's called Wavelength. And I'll try to explain it to the best of my ability. We're gonna do one round each of us. So you'll definitely get it by round two, and you can play along because I think it's actually something fun. We're gonna make it League of Legends edition. So the point of the game is that one person, doesn't know, the other two people are going to come up with a number together, right? So Nick and Colton in this example are going to come up with a number. In this example, it's going to be 10, right? Meaning on a 1 to 10 scale, their number is 10. I am then going to ask each of them two questions, League of Legends related, that they are going to respond with an answer that leads me to think that it's a 10, right? So if I said, as Colton's example in our chat earlier, if I said, give me an AD carry, and the number was 10, you guys would probably give me something like a Lucian, right? Mm-hmm. Like Lucian's a pretty 80 carry. Or if the number was like closer to one, you'd maybe say, oh, like Fiddlesticks, right? Okay. And by my four questions that I ask you guys, I'm hoping to kind of narrow down what the number is and then guess the number. That's kind of the point of the game. It's kind of fun. We're making it League of Legends edition, so we've all prepared four questions. We're going to ask, like, when I ask questions, I'm going to ask Nick one, then Colton one, then Nick one, then Colton one. And then hopefully I can come together and get the number. And I think you guys can play along. We're going to do three rounds of it, one for each of us. And I think it'll be fun.
Hell yeah.
So,
all right.
Do you guys want to choose a number in, like, your DM chat?
Sure. Nick, do you want to just send me a number and I'll take it?
Yeah, let me do that.
Since my keyboard is louder than yours.
Oh, is that right? That's funny.
My keyboard's super funny. Loud.
Let's see.
It's really hard to choose a number, so I understand.
Sorry, I was...
Okay, cool,
I was getting
into him. Okay, Nick, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Okay, can you give me a champion that you'd want as a pet?
Renekton.
Fuck, that's a low one. okay, I think I'm somewhere in like the 2 to 4 range right now. Okay, Colton,
yeah.
Give me a place that you would give me a place in Runeterra that you'd take your family on vacation.
Somewhere I would take my family on vacation. I'm gonna say
jungle.
No, I'm gonna say Piltover.
Oh, that's nice though. Hold on. Okay. I think it has to be somewhere closer to the middle then. Like, Piltover's, I would have said Piltover's like a 7, so I'm going to say we're somewhere like a 5 right now. Okay, Nick, give me a League of Legends team whose fans you'd want to hang out with outside of work. Like, if you went to a bar.
Of work, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I only hang out with League of Legends fans during work hours.
I'm sorry, I'm thinking.
Yeah, no,
yeah, that's why I was filling with a joke.
I have my 10. Right, I have my perfect one.
Yeah.
Which
is CLG fans, of course.
No, it's not CLG. I'll say...
How many degrees of separation from CLG is this team that Nick going to
say? I'll say Dignitas.
I'm so middle of the pack about that. Like, I'm still somewhere in like the 5 range. I think I have to be. Okay, Colton, final question. Oh, give me a season of League of Legends, like season 1 of League of Legends, season 5, season 8, whatever. Like, give me a season of League of Legends.
I'm going to go...
you can't... Hopefully it's just not the number you said.
Yeah, like what?
No, I get what Aiden is saying, because this was going to be one of my questions or kind of a variant of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to go with...
Oh, I
season
see. Okay.
Five. Yes.
I'm Pepega.
Okay. I think people thought about season five really positively. I know season three is like the like rose-tinted glasses game was perfect year. I think anything older is going to be higher up. I think we're at a... Nick's Renekton answer is fucking...
So I one variant I kind of want to throw into the mix here, potentially, to make it more of a competitive thing, is if you just took Nick's answers, what would you guess the number was? And if you just took mine,
yeah,
what would the number be, and like, which one of us is closer?
Okay, yeah, I'll give you my total. I think I'm going to say six is what I'm going to go with. But for Nick's, I would say Nick's is leaning lower like a three. And Colton, yours is leaning higher like a six or a seven. I'm going to say six.
Our number was seven.
Our number was seven. Okay. And when you were talking about Piltover, you were like, that's a seven. I'm like, I fucking killed it.
Yeah.
Right? Because Piltover is like, it's nice. It's cool. Like, it's a relatively clean city. A little bit of racism. But like, it's definitely not a 10.
You wouldn't want an alligator as a pet?
No. Renekton would murder me in my home.
It's crazy. It's just a small little thing. What would be a one?
A one would be like
a human?
Kogma. Actually, Kogma's kind of dogish. You might say hi for that.
What would be a seven? What would you say as a seven for that?
A seven?
For a seven?
As a pet. Fuck. I feel like...
There's not a lot of good answers.
I mean, I feel like Yumi's an eight to me.
Yeah.
Because, right, like, she's annoying. She's a cat, but she's annoying. A seven, maybe like cougar form Nidalee like, is closer because she's still like a big cat, Nidalee but she might murder me. Renekton's a fucking sentient being.
Yes, it's an alligator who
they
can talk.
They all are. Sick. There's no character isn't a sentient being.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Maybe like Malphite, like a pet rock.
Nah, Malphite's 10 out of 10. He's rock solid.
Okay. Which one do you want to go next, and we'll figure out.
I'll go next.
Okay.
Because I feel like
Colton,
my
you
want to
message me a number, or
more
want me to message you?
Aiden, go ahead and message me a number.
Okay.
Okay.
We got our number.
Nice.
Who is the best LCS player of all time?
Do you want that to Colton or me?
Aiden.
The best LCS player of all time. Mm-hmm.
Or I guess like who.
Give me an LCS player of all time. Yeah, an LCS player of all time. I would say Jensen.
Okay. Colton. Let's see. So I have it written down as the most important pro player, pro champion of all time, but I feel like it should just be give me an impactful pro play champion.
Yeah, you kind of have to phrase them almost like
yeah.
a, without like, any
pro
intent.
Play
yeah.
champion. I'm going to go with Azir.
Okay. Ada, give me a jungler.
A jungler. Oh,
A champion or player?
Yeah.
either one.
I
meant it as a champion, but I guess whatever.
How about Nidalee?
Okay. Aiden, or Colton.
Nick's giving us no feedback if we're close.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
I have who is the ugliest champ, but I don't know if that's a...
So if the category is ugly champions, I wanted
10
to...
would be the ultimate ugly champion.
The ultimate, yeah. Okay. All right. So I'm going to go with... I guess let's say Trundle.
Okay, so combo, I'm thinking an 8 or a 9, but I think, man, this is tough because Azir is like a 10, right? Like in terms of pro play champion importance, and Trundle's a 10, but Aiden's making me think lower because I wouldn't say Jensen is like a 10 in terms of LCS player.
So you say like my answer is average 10, his answer is average 8, and you're
yeah like 8 or 9. Yeah. I'll do a 9. Okay. That sounds good.
I think Aiden will probably wins this round if you thought both of mine were 10s. Our number was 9.
Okay.
Right, where I was thinking for both of those that, like, they're very much up there, but I could think of maybe, one or two that are more.
Really? Who would you say is a more, like, important pro play champion?
I think, like, Thresh.
Yeah.
Probably. I think, like, you could make an argument for some other ones, but, like, Azir at this
Orianna,
point.
Orianna, maybe.
Yeah, Orianna, I was considering. It's tough because, like, for 13 years, you have to make that.
LeBlanc's the most pick banned character in all League of Legends.
Right, yeah.
Interesting.
I don't think of her as a most important pro play character.
No, I don't think so either. Because I think it has to be a character who is not, like, banned a ton, so you get to see them a ton. Right? Because I would guess that Azir has more games played than LeBlanc, at least given, like, accounting for release time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, especially recently, he's picked every game and he's never banned. So,
yeah. Okay, cool. All
right, awesome.
Cool.
You guys pick a number between the two of you and let me know when you're ready.
You want to shoot me a number, Nick?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to go to Aiden with my first one. So this is like World Finals series, right? So like the best ever World Finals is a 10. The worst ever World Finals would be a 1.
SKT versus Samsung Galaxy.
And that was what year? Do you recall?
2014, I want to say.
Okay,
or 2017. 2017, sorry, yeah.
Okay.
It's the crown one.
Yeah, I'm thinking. I feel like that one was pretty good, but like not amazing. I'm thinking we're somewhere around like a 6 to 7 with that answer. Okay. All right, Nick, I think you'll enjoy this one. Fun to clear jungle camps. The most fun jungle camp, neutral camp to clear is a 10. The least fun is a 1.
The most fun to clear. Okay. So are we including like Baron, Dragon?
Yeah, Baron, Dragon, Elder, Kevin's, Rift Herald, everything's in there.
Okay. I would say this is a solid wolf out of
a solid
neutral.
Wolf. I think wolves is up there, so I'm still right around that like 7-ish. I'm leaning around 7 right now. I think wolves is one of the better camps to clear. Aiden, rotating game modes that have existed in the past.
Black Market Brawlers.
That's a 10. That's a straight up 10. That complicates things. So maybe now we're up to like a 8 to 9 average. Nick, just give me any League of Legends skin.
Give you any League of Legends skin.
Yeah, just a League of Legends skin. Is it going to be a 10 out of 10 skin? 4, 1?
How about Sailor Gangplank?
Sailor Gangplank. I feel like I'm now back down to like a 7-ish, which I feel like he wouldn't pick 7 twice in a row. So I'm going to go with a final answer of 6.
Okay, I guess.
What about individually?
I feel like Aiden is closer to like an 8. What was the actual?
What was mine? Nick?
Well, yeah.
Nick's, I don't. You said Sailor Gangplank, which I think is like a 6. And what was the first thing?
Wolves.
Well, yeah, I think you're at a 6.
I griefed us, man.
I don't think you did. I think he.
Yeah, he griefed us.
I think he griefed us. Maybe
Black Market Brawler being a 10 is absolutely insane.
I had it in my mind as a 5, Colton.
Okay.
Like, the number was 4.
It probably.
The number was 4.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I think we're. I definitely screwed you guys more than you owned it. I also think for whatever reason, I have a really positive association with Black Market Brawlers. I think it's because I didn't play much of it and it just had cool items.
Like, if I said Nexus Siege, that's a 1, and that's 2 left.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But it's funny that you'd say Sailor Gangplank is a 6.
I think I was just like in such a higher mindset. And also, yeah. I don't know why I thought you would be like, no, that one's really cool.
It's funny because I almost like my first guess was like, oh, I'll go Spooky Gangplank, but then I'm like, no, Colton likes ghosts and pirates.
That's a 9.
Nah, Spooky Gangplank I would have been lower.
What?
Oh, that's crazy.
Because of how I think Nick perceives it.
I think Gangplank is cooler because of the event.
That's fair. Hey, I messed it up. I didn't. I failed the vibe check.
That's okay.
I think that was actually really fun.
I think it was
this
fun
is something
game.
That we could for sure do a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome.
Great session, Aiden.
Do roundtable? Yeah, thanks for doing
this. I was also really proud of. I think fun to clear jungle camps was such a dumb but good.
Wolves at 6 or 7?
What's your number one best, most fun to clear jungle camp?
It's got to be chickens.
Raptors, yeah. Raptors is absolutely number one. What's number two?
Number two is probably Krugs.
No, Krugs is like a three.
A three?
Krugs sucks.
Krugs has a lot of money and they're easy to kill.
Yeah, but you have to fucking wait for the small ones to break out of the big one and it sucks. And then they fucking unleash and I hate it. You're not a jungler.
I'd rather do that than wolves.
Ask any jungler.
Wolves is just like budget chickens.
It's chickens, but less of them.
And you're farther away from bot lane.
I never get invaded.
Which is where junglers belong.
I never get invaded and killed while I'm doing my fucking wolves.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that was fun. I also interpreted that question as like, what jungler is the most fun to clear as?
Oh.
Is the way I interpreted it.
Oh, interesting.
No. I wanted if it was a 10 for it to be Raptors. I think for me, it's like Raptors 10. New Grubs is like a 9. I think for me, Wolves is like 7, 8.
Wow.
Cool.
You don't get invaded and killed while you're doing your wolves.
That is fair.
You don't drop fucking aggro on wolves and have to reset the camp. You don't have to wait for
I got invaded on wolves literally yesterday.
Well,
because
you're bad at the game, so.
I'm better than you.
You're not even ranked.
Exactly, so I could be ranked higher.
True. Theoretically, cool. His rank is limitless.
Yeah. Last week's question was, what champion do you feel like just doesn't fit within League of Legends? Most of our answers were Yuumi, so we're avoiding all those.
That's funny, even though we specifically said don't say Yuumi.
In my defense, a lot of those came in before we posted the episode. And I think we almost had 0 after we posted the episode.
Good.
I'm going to take Pard's answer, who said, I would say Yorick. I think Yorick's full kit is really intended for him to be a split pusher, and split pushing seems to be the opposite direction of a 5v5 team game. Good answer, Pards.
Yeah.
This is where one of us goes in, but I had to open the link.
I've thought for a while that Akali's kit doesn't seem to fit. Not that it's badly designed or unfun. It's just that playing most champs against Akali feels like playing Dark Souls 1 against someone playing Sekiro or playing Mario, but someone fighting from someone from Tekken. Boy, I'm having trouble reading.
That's from Buddy Orange. That's funny.
I've got one here from Mystic Rune, which I find very funny. I think Briar feels out of place. She's a sexualized lolly whose defining features are looking like she's shackled to a headboard. I don't know. It gave me weird vibes from day one. I find it so funny because I think being a sexualized lolly does not put you out of the fucking League of Legends spectrum at all.
It's the average League player.
That's like, right? Like, oh. That's... That's not uncommon in League.
Yeah. Cool. If you want to... This week's roundtable question is, what role do you think is the strongest currently in League?
Hard mode, try not to say support.
I took this because the League of Legends YouTube channel posted this, and the breakdown, by the way, was 44% of the people said mid lane.
What?
And then it was... 16% top, 17% jungle, then it was like 12-11 for support AD carry, I think.
People are wild.
People are low elo.
I mean,
you know what? That's fair.
Yeah. All of us probably think it's support, right?
Let's say like not support. Maybe we'll do number two and people can tell us why they think support is the best.
Yeah.
Or not support.
I mean, I think it's so close between like support, mid, jungle.
And what role do you play again? Just for
support.
I don't know if everyone knows who you are.
I've been playing support
lately. I just wasn't sure. Like, could you say my name is Colton Sweat and I play support?
I'm a dirty support.
My name is Colton Sweat. I'm currently a support main and I'm the highest elo I've ever been.
Thank you, Freak. You can sit down.
Yeah,
now.
Thanks, Freak. And I haven't been playing Maokai.
No, but what was the other thing? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Like, I do think, like, it's not like it's obvious. Like, just for context, I think all of us think that these are within, like, a percentage or two.
Right, like, I think that the number one most impactful role is not more than, like, 22% of the outcome of the game.
Yeah.
I think to me, it's probably, like, support and jungle very, very close. mid, just a little bit beneath that. And then I'd probably put 80 carry and top together. And again, just like a little bit lower.
Interesting.
I think the game is like just fine. You see it if you play, if you play fucking 20 games, you're gonna have a 1v9 performance from like every role at some point in that 20 games.
Yeah, that's super fair. I think the only reason a lot of people think it's support is that, like, obviously their gold generation is strong, on top of them being fully effective with zero gold, right? Like, that's the big thing is a lot of these characters, whether they're 15-0 or 0-15, kind of function in a similar manner.
Colton's Pantheon game from yesterday.
Yeah, we were playing a game, and you know our bot lane was not doing so hot, which was okay.
They were 4-15 at one point.
Yeah, but then hey, it turns out the enemy team has an 80 carry that you know can just get one shot.
I mean,
by
it's
the,
not even the just the 80 carry. Like I was doing that to their six.
You were doing
Echo.
That to the mid laner too. Yeah.
Yeah, like I was the level 15 Pantheon. 100 zeroing a 6-item Echo with like 4.5 items. My Bloodsong did almost 10,000 damage that game. Certainly.
And how much did you buy that item for again? I could
negative 600 gold.
Negative 600. Okay, it gave you 600 gold when you bought it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. It's so gross, man.
I agree that that's like definitely overtuned. I think it's weird that like support is stronger than it should be, and like the income and the gold efficiency of the support items, like all of that, I agree with you, is fucked. But I still don't think that, like, most support characters can single-handedly win a game still. Right? Like, even at, like, the worst of that, like, I'm still going 1-for-1 when I'm doing that.
Yes. And like, because I think, I think I mentioned it a little, I think we talked about this a few weeks ago. But I do think the strongest support can ever be is, like, as strong as your solo lanes are. Where you can make plays happen all you want, but if you're making them happen for people who aren't as good as they need to be to like follow up on your plays and capitalize on the space you're creating and things like that.
Like you could be a Lucian.
There's really just no value.
You could be a Lucian who is like 14-1 and then still not win the game because you don't know how to execute that lead.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's just sort of like support as well. So I do understand, like, oh, maybe it's not the strongest role, or like by far, but it is really, really strong.
Yeah, I think the support item is really the crucial issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and do we want to like dive into that at all? Because like I think that there's an interesting conversation we had a little bit on Discord of like, how do we fix that? I don't know if we want to maybe save that for next week.
We could make it like a big topic next week. Okay. I think there's a lot of things, and I think they're already taking good steps, which is nice.
Yeah, next week is a patch week too, so maybe we should.
We'll see.
Talk about it now. I don't know.
Yeah, we can talk about it like briefly. Just to give context, the changes that they've already made, which haven't gone live to my knowledge, is that these support items are going to be capped at 800 gold now, I believe. So it fully upgrades to its Bloodsong at 800 gold, which a lot of people go, oh, that's a buff because I get my fucking OP support item earlier. But it is 200 gold less that you're getting for free. Therefore makes your like purchase like less gold efficient. Which I think is a step in the right direction. I think maybe comboing that with like maybe 700 gold is like the upgrade, but also you get this thing slower. So not only are you getting less gold total, but you're getting it at a slower pace. So you're not just immediately getting two items. I know Colton was complaining a lot in that game of like, oh, I'm the support, so I'm at two items and everyone else in the game is at one.
Yeah. So
I was pointing out like how fucked it is, right?
Yeah, it's fucked.
That I was
yeah.
0-8 and that I was still matching pace with other characters in terms of items.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot. What are they going to do to reduce the effectiveness of like support upgrades? Because I feel like that is like Aiden or Colton was sort of drawing attention to with Bloodsong. Like that's a huge issue too.
It's weird. Colton had some. I think the gold gen thing is the easy thing to solve. And Colton, maybe you want to jump in on that before we jump off of that.
Yeah.
Because I think your suggestion on.
Okay. So
I was going to say on Reddit was good. On our Discord was good.
Yeah. So my pitch was basically that you could change the way that support quest works so that rather than like having a 1,000 gold pool that you can get, It's like a 500 gold pool between levels 1 and 6, 500 more gold between 6 and 11, 500 more. It was like 400, 300, 300 to have it be the same 1,000 total. But you can't get all of that until you're like past level 16, right? So like by 11, you can only have 700 from it, which most games support doesn't get to 16. They wouldn't get that additional gold. I don't think the issue is like supports having gold in the late game. It's that they can hit their first item faster than the AD carry and then snowball that lead into having 2.5 items by the time like other players are almost at 2, right? Like, and they're consistently like half an item to a full item ahead of carries. I think it's wild how consistently you can do that, right? Like, you play support Zyra, you're gonna have Liandry's and Rylai's by the time the mid laners hit 2 items. Unless they're like CSing perfectly and got plates. Bot laners have access to more plates, I think, than most other roles because of just the way that reset timings end up working. I think in most games, like, both bot lanes, even if one's hard winning and one's hard losing, like, both bot lanes are probably getting at least 3 plates. There's more kill gold because there's more champions, there's more assist gold, there's more ward gold because people are putting down more wards. As well as the fact that you just like get crazy money from the support item. So I think if you change that quest to be like 400, 300, 300, that's like level capped, that could really help. I think if you turned off the gold per 10 after it's fully upgraded or maybe lowered it a little bit, that could be a potential issue because like you continue generating more gold from that item throughout the entirety of the game. And right, that item that cost you negative 600 gold actually cost you like negative a full 1,000 gold because you just keep generating more money from it. I think that solves most of the current issues with support. I agree that I think most of the support items, their actual procs are probably too strong, especially for like, I think personally Bloodsong is probably the worst defender because it lets you do stuff like, oh, my, you know, support who's a damage character and has Bloodsong plus 1 item just like outdueled a full AD carry or something.
Is Bloodsong the Spellblade?
Yeah, the Spellblade gives like the press the attack damage proc.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, I think Zack is really frustrating to play against, but it actually doesn't do like a fucked amount of damage. It's just really irritating if you're against like a Zyra, for example, and it's like she puts down a plant, the plant autos you once, and it's like Comet, Scorch, Zack, Liandry's, and you just took like a third of your health because of all of those procs. And right, like you could nerf those or you could have those scale with level or you could have it, you know, there's a lot that you could do to those to fix it. But I think really the core issue right now is how quickly supports can get to their full first item and like into their second item. It shouldn't be faster than people who are farming.
I think that's totally fair.
Yeah. So with that, I think there's also like some considerations to be made where like they could lower support gold and they could lower the gold you get from clearing wards. They could also, I think, a good way to potentially balance it would be make those things give more experience and a lot less gold where it's like, hey, your support who's getting a fucking million assists a game and is typically underleveled now has a way to kind of keep pace better, but obviously they're just not going to get gold. I think that there's something to be done there. And if they're too worried about like other roles, like fucking that up, you could make that like a unique passive of the support item, right? Where it's like, I don't know, instead of getting,
I think you might have to,
instead of getting full support, assist gold, you just get like a bonus 20 XP. Persist, or, you know, like I have no idea what the number actually would look like to make it good, but I think there's a lot of potential solutions around it.
Yeah,
boy howdy do I hate fucking arbitrary rules though. That's my only like thing that only worries me, because they're adding a new one next patch where people who buy jungle item and people who buy support item can no longer buy Doran's. Like they're all like, you can't, they're like not unique. Like, I guess the unique is the right word, but, like, it's weird because, like, I don't know, man. It's just, like, it's just another fucking rule where, like, you have to know this. Like, and there's no seeming rhyme or reason to it. It's just annoying. Now there's like 700 rules. So like if you buy a support item, you can't buy Doran's items. No one else on your team can buy a support item. You can't buy a jungle item. If you CS too much over like whatever the golden ratio is, you get less gold. It's just like so many fucking under like not stated rules that you have to just know.
It does kind of suck. Yeah.
And they just add more and more, and it's like, it just gets more and more complex for no reason.
Mm-hmm. But I it just sucks.
They're all in individually all for good reasons. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't feel like this is a starter item. Like you should only have one starter item. Like it's a bad thing necessarily, you know?
Yeah.
It's just arbitrary, like you're saying. Yeah.
You can't stack Doran's like items now, though, right? Like,
but maybe you shouldn't be able to, you know? Maybe it should just be like everyone gets one starter item, and these count as starter items.
And the game just consumes it at 10 minutes, and it's gone.
Yeah, dude, it's just so weird. I just hate arbitrary rules, and there's so many in League, man.
There are. Yeah. And it sucks because like there have to be, because otherwise we get like,
like how
I don't know. Really
often do you have people asking like, why don't bottom lanes just switch to top lane? Because like they just don't know that like top lane tower is like less
or tankier.
Tankier than a mid lane tower. And it's like that's something that's written on the tower, but like, dude, I see that question like,
do you?
Once a week.
Interesting.
Yeah. Whenever there's discussions about like,
when
it's
he writes
mostly
down
about
his
top
diary.
Lane. Yeah. It's mostly about top lane agency, so it's usually top laners complaining of like, fucking why don't we just go fucking bottom lane if like you know, I don't know, man. It's just there's so many rules and I don't like shame anyone for not knowing them all. Like
Yeah, it's hard to.
I think part of the issue, and you were saying it, is not even so much that there are these arbitrary rules, but that they are not clearly communicated and, like, easy to understand. Right? Like, I think the arbitrary rule of, like, you can only get one starter item. Like, that's fine because it would be very easy to understand as a new player, right? Where you're like, hey, these starter items that you get at the beginning of the game for 400 gold, and they're all 400 gold, they're the starter item. They give you more stats than you're ever going to get anywhere else for 400 gold to help you get your game going. You can buy one of them and it doesn't upgrade into anything, right? Like that makes sense. That's a pretty logical progression. The idea that like you have to know the formula for how much team your gold has gotten from minions and how much gold you've gotten from minions before it'll fuck up your farming with a support item, like, is hard to explain and understand even for someone who's been playing the game for 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not written anywhere like at all. Like the only thing that's written is if you go over the amount, which is you've already fucked yourself, it says that, hey, you're getting a reduced amount.
Yeah.
And like, it doesn't show me that either, right? Like, I think it would be fine if I could hover over the item or like click alt click on it or something to ping it and be like, your current farm gold, you know, you've gotten 600 gold from minions. The number you have to stay under is currently 650. If I could see that on the item or ping it or see it anywhere, it would be much better and I would be more okay with it because I could know. But now it's just like I have to be really closely paying attention to my fucking status bar to see when I get it or like notice that I killed a minion and only got 8 gold. And then I don't know, like, unless I'm paying attention to that status bar, when it's going away, and I don't know if it's going to be, like, within the next 10 seconds or the next 3 minutes. I have no idea.
And that kind of goes against Riot's, like, controversial, like, we don't want to overload the players with too many things because they start min-maxing things, which I understand the core behind that, right? Like, people will, like, if you give them the, you have to stay under 650, then they're farming to 650, right? Mm-hmm. Like, at the highest level of play. That being said, I don't think it's the opposite is good either, where you just don't know until it happens.
like, that's the big issue.
But they do it that way regardless of if that number is there, right? Is that they go into a practice tool, they figure out that number, and they build a strategy around it, right? Which is what happened with double support items, is they figured out if you do 3 and 3 alternating, you can both stay under number the whole time. Right? Yeah. Like, and it never told them what the number was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I think it's like such a garbage argument to just not give that information because it limits who gets to use that in a way that I don't think is like very equitable for the game, right? Where it's just like, we're not making this strategy impossible. we're just making it so only 2% of players get to abuse it, and that everyone else has to wait 3 more weeks until it becomes popularized, and then we have to nerf it, right? And mm-hmm. so then those 2% of players who found out about it early are all, like, plus 10 wins because of it, because none of that information was readily available to everybody, where it could have been nerfed 2 weeks prior.
Yeah, it's tough. I definitely don't envy Riot's position.
Yeah, like in a vacuum, all every decision they make regarding all these things makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Like, they need to fix things, so they do thing to fix thing. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, all the changes have been good, right? Like, we have the tanky top lane turrets, so we don't have 2 versus 0 lanes, or and double jungle, things like that.
Yeah.
You know, the CS... the jungle farm thing that we were just talking about, like, that exists so we don't have
funnel
comps. Yeah, so, like, it's all good. It's just hard to consolidate, like, which should be, like, what to do next.
Yeah. Do we have any changes regarding the, we talked about gold gen of items, we talked about, like, actual item strength. Is there anything else about support? Like, I was thinking, because, like, the other issue is, like, support's probably the strongest it's been in, like, a long time, but also the play rate of it's recovered a fair bit, like, compared to, like, years past, right? Support, like, forever was the lowest played role, and it's still, like, I think it's still, like, bottom half, but, like, it's not, like, the lowest in the game anymore. I'd say, like, jungle and AD carry are the lowest probably right now is my guess, followed by, like, top with mid being obviously the most popular.
It definitely depends on, like, elo and, like, time of day, because I've seen lately the priority roles are bottom and jungle for at least my rating level.
Yeah, yeah.
And every now and then I'll see support pop up in there, but typically it's bot and jungle as then the two lowest play roles if they're the priority queue.
Yeah, it's definitely time of day and also ELO. I know, like, at low ELO, top lane is very popular, like the most popular role. And then as you go up, it starts to, like, or at least last year, it would go down by ELO.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting, because, like, I'm wondering, like, you can't take... Because I made the joke yesterday of, like, fuck it, man, just fucking make supports pay for their wards again, right? Like, fucking make them pay 75 gold for a ward, which obviously is a joke in the fact that, like, it used to be fucking miserable to play that a role, because every single gold that you earned went to buying vision that you'd place on the map, right? For those who don't know, you'd have to buy wards, right? You wouldn't get free wards. You'd buy wards and then come out of base, place your wards, recall, spend your fucking 550 gold paycheck and go buy more wards
and to, like, replace. There was also more just items that gave you free gold at that point.
Yeah, there's gold per five items, but they, like, gold per 10 items.
Particularly, like you would have a bunch of them, and then, like, that would basically be, like, your thing, right? Is you, like, go back, spend 200 gold on wards and, like, 400 gold on one component, because that's all you can afford, and then, like, redo that every time you go back. I don't think that system was better.
I mean, it was miserable to play as a support, right? That's the fact.
So if we lean into this, maybe the support item could give an increased amount of gold, but give no stats, no upgrade beyond the, like, wards unlocked, thing like that. So you always have this, like, dead slot in terms of stats, but you get to sort of accelerate. And maybe it could be non-linear, so that way, like, you get your first item faster, but then your second and third item are slower, and then your fourth and fifth and, like, whatever, everything after that is faster.
I don't know. I feel like I'd rather see it the other way, where I think supports should be pretty weak early and then grow in strength throughout the game. And I think that, like, kit-wise, they are doing that now, right? Because, like, most of what makes a support good is utility for team fights and, like, allowing and enabling your other players to do stuff. Or at least for, like, enchanters, right? Like, I think engaged supports are generally better in the early game, and then in the late game they sort of fall off unless they have a full team that can dive with them. But I mean, like, even to Aiden's, like, joke point of, like, make them buy wards again, like, you could very easily do nothing to the income quest on the support item, but to refill it you have to spend, like, 50 gold. Cost 50 gold to refill your wards. Right, like, they could do that, or they, you know, and again, they could balance that number.
That feels like shit.
It's just hard, man. Like, I think another issue that, like, Colton, like, just alluded to it a second ago is that there's also a lot of different archetypes that play support currently, right? Of course, Riot could just decide, hey, fuck it, we're going to rebalance the game so you can only play Enchanters, and it'd probably be easier to balance the game for them. That being said, playing Enchanters, playing Engage, playing Damage, playing Peel, playing Mages, playing Tank supports, playing Warden, like, all these different roles all, like, want different things, right?
And
like,
that's, like, not to call it your... different.
Yeah.
Yeah, like... like, not to, like, I'm not trying to, like, say you're wrong about your point, Nick, but, like, just to, for your example of, like, oh, make the support items give, like, no stats, it's like, fuck, man, that probably fucks up damage, like, support characters way more than, like, Enchanter support, right? Like, and that's just something that Riot would have to, like, decide what they want, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's so hard.
My, like, thought specifically around that would be, like, you accelerate into your other items faster. So, like, you're always, you always have this dead slot, but you're still reaching... like one item the same time someone else is, and maybe then like your second and third item are slower and your other items, you know, sort of bounce back faster than your second and third. But I mean, it's definitely not a flawless plan. Like, I'm, you know, I didn't just fix League of Legends.
Well, yeah, we're all just unless... fucking spitballing. I think, I mean, there's, you know, to go back to the archetypes thing, it's like, I think the big issue right now, and again, I think this goes back primarily to Bloodsong, but like, the one item spike of certain characters or like one plus support item is so vastly different in strength, right? So like, I think a really good example, right, just like from that Pantheon game where I went 0 and 14, like Bloodsong plus Eclipse as like a, just a full damage like assassin support, like I could pretty well 100-0 somebody with that, and you're like, wow, that's really fucked. Like, but if you compare that to like, I'm a Blitzcrank and I've got Solstice Slay and Locket. What a crazy power spike. Right? Like, that's nothing.
Yeah, it's just weird, man. Like, one thing I was discussing, like, when I say discussing, I fucking didn't talk to anyone. I just had it, this conversation in my head. But no, I was thinking in my head, like, is there any way to make it so that, and it's going to be arbitrary, which I fucking hate, to make it so that supports just build regular items, right? So they start with a starting item, and somehow by being a support you have access to trinket slot number two that has wards or something like that, right? Because like, I'm wondering if like you could just like even the playing ground is like my logic here of like, oh, this class now starts with the same thing every other class starts with. The issue is, how the fuck do you fit the whole support like enchant, like not enchanter, the whole support warding part into it? Which, do we give them another button? Is that too complex? Is it going to be abused by like other rules now going, I'm a support and I can start this and I just get ward, so now I'm just like Xerath, but like I build full damage items but I get like war. I don't know. Like, it's so like tough. I'm trying to spitball of like, at least this would like eliminate this role having different items, right? Which is leading to some issues. I don't know. It's hard. I mean, it's really hard.
Yeah, it's super tough, and I definitely don't think there's an easy fix.
Riot, the easy fix is like, I think would be to mimic it after jungle, where you just make like the passives on them way weaker, right? Where like nobody, I feel like at least not since the very beginning, was like, man, they took red pet, that's OP. They're getting so much burn damage, or like red pet doesn't.
I mean, when they came out, right? Like the green one's just busted.
Yeah, they had to balance it, but right, like nobody's red pet balanced. Does 8,000 damage in a game like my Bloodsong did.
Yeah.
My other scenario, which I think it's fun, and it obviously is a lot of work, and it will never happen, is what if we Overwatch to it, and we remove support from the game as a role, but like we rework at Riot Games every single support character into a different class. I think that would be so sick, dude. Like, Xerath is like gets reworked actually into a mage. More same with Morgana. Braum is like a tank character now. I think you could balance AD carry as a role better because it's not in a 2v2 lane with like all these different variables. It's never gonna happen, but like I could imagine the game being a 4v4 game and it just being so much like easier to balance. Like, yeah, it's a 4v4. Sorry.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, you didn't mention that part. I was like, yeah, they're just gonna be support still.
No, but like, yeah, so it's a 4v4, but like the supports are just played in other roles as like a new role. Like, obviously, I'm it's never gonna happen because that's an infinite amount of work, but like, yeah. I think it'd be so fucking sick of like Braum being a tank top laner, and AD carries can probably get turbo buffs, right? Their items can get buffed. They're now solo in XP if they're played because they're solo laners. you maybe have supportive junglers who maybe like sit in lanes a little bit more to like babysit like certain roles. Like, I think in theory it could work really well. Like, that's, but really obviously we're never gonna do that.
Yeah. Man, I would love to exist in a world where we could see like how that works. Cause like on paper, I feel like it's really good, but I almost wonder if it would, if there's something could, that we're missing.
I mean, fucking look at Overwatch 2 right now. Like, yeah. Tanks went from being because they switched, for those who don't know who don't play Overwatch, Overwatch switched from a 6v6 game to a 5v5 game where you had to have two tank of every role. Now you have one tank. And when it got released, tanks were fucking crazy OP because they had to be overtuned because you have one of them instead of two. Yeah. Now. And now they're probably the worst role in the game.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they just don't fucking do anything, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck, I'm sure that would happen the same with League, but in my fucking utopia, I think it would be so sick, man.
No, that would be really cool. I don't think Riot would ever go that route, unfortunately.
No, I mean,
maybe,
it's fucking,
maybe
like,
if League is like hella dying.
Dude, that's the nuclear option, is just, yeah, kill a role. Because, dude, how many like people who play that role just don't want to play their character in a different role anymore, right? Like, I don't know.
I will say a lot of the draw for support, like myself included, is, you know, occasionally that reduced responsibility. Like, obviously you still have a lot of things to do, but if you, it is a lot easier to perform not,
I mean,
as
you don't have to be on all the time, right?
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah, if you have a bad game, you can still have like positive impact on your team versus like if you have a bad game in top lane, like your lane is over and the game might be over.
And if you're getting dumpstered in lane or you got hard countered, you can just fuck off and tell the AD carry, play safe, I'm gonna roam. I'm 0-7 and gave your lane opponent a fucking 1,000 gold and level and a half lead on you. Like, have fun.
Yeah. It is their fault though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't fucking envy Riot at all for this, but there's lots of cool things that I'd like to see them try.
Yeah. Maybe, I mean, game mode, like, that would be really cool.
Remember I talked to a couple of weeks ago about, like, them having just a new queue where it's, like, the test mode queue or the PBE queue or whatever, where, like, mm-hmm. they try just whack shit? That'd be a cool whack shit thing to try.
That would be a cool whack shit thing to try. Awesome. Nice. Cool.
Cool.
So shall we get into mail fight?
Yeah, let's fight each other.
We've done the first two emails, but I left them just so you guys know. Cool. We did them last week. Our first one is from Man Mannington. I've run into more soft, toxic players than I'm used to lately. The kinds of players that say U plus rope instead of KYS or AFK farm jungle for 10 minutes because they got mad at another player rather than sell their items and run down mid. They do everything a normal toxic player would do just in ways to not get flagged. What do you guys think of player moderators or just a group of somewhat vetted players whose reports hold more weight than the average person? I think if 75% out of X amount of your reports are actually punishable and you're honor level 5, maybe Riot has an actual person look at the game or gives your report more weight to punish them. Maybe you get a little crown emblem next to your name too, like in RuneScape. I don't think they would ever do it, but I'm curious as to what y'all think. Man Mannington. This guy just reinvented the tribunal.
Yeah. So this happened.
Isn't that something? Isn't that a system that still already exists where like the weight of your report?
Yeah. So the weight of your report does decrease. I don't know if there's any like super tangible benefit to the player itself, like that you can, I don't know, visually see or anything like that. But that is how it works.
But we're never going to see that formula.
And I don't think it's a terrible idea. You know, I think it could be a really good way to make the game good. It's just there are a lot of ways to, be a soft, toxic player without like actually being toxic. It's just a difference in like opinion or like a viewpoint or something like that, right? Where if I call for a Baron and we all, like, and I'm the jungler, right? But I miss my smite through, you know, just not being a good smiter.
Old man hands.
Yeah, I have old man hands, so that's what happens. But then we have, like, we get aced and they seal Baron. Like, am I soft toxic now? Is that, like, something that I get reported for?
Yeah, I mean, like, also, just to touch back on the whole tribunal thing. Tribunal didn't work. Not to say that it wasn't implemented the best it could have been, but like it just didn't work. People fucking false reported because, first of all, there was also IP rewards, like,
yeah, if you got the correct, like, outcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's, like, issues with it just in general. That being said, I agree. It's not like it can't work. It's just, they should try it at high ELOs, right? Like, there's been a huge thing at the high ELO community of, like, you should fucking hire someone to watch Challenger games on every server, right? Like, yeah. If there's a report in a Challenger lobby, you have someone watch that game and fix it, right? Because it's from a top-down thing of, like, if you fix the top, hopefully it would, like, transition to, like, the rest of the community. Mm-hmm. They haven't done that. If they're going to do that, it's probably doable, like, to actually manually have people hired to do that at, like, that level. They have no interest is kind of, like, the what's been given. I don't know. Also, like, people who fucking, like, find ways to skirt
yeah, that's never going to go away.
It's just so cringe, man, as well. Like, you play the game enough that you know the things that you can get banned for. Holy shit, man. Just, like, if you're going to tell someone to kill themselves, just actually just do it and get banned. Like, fucking, I don't know, man. Like,
have it's some conviction. So gross, man.
Like, dude, the fact that, like I remember, like, 2 years ago or whatever, Jonna was pinging call then pinging players, right? Call yourself, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's just, like, I don't know, man. Like, if you're finding ways like that to get around stuff, you are a fucking loser. Like, dude, it's so gross.
Look, if you're only speeding 5 over the speed limit, just go fuck. Do 50. Have some conviction.
I just think it's, like, you obviously play the game way too much. You're too angry about it. You know all the lines.
You've been just punished enough times to have a better understanding than most people of that system.
Yeah, you're a fucking loser in every word, every, like, way imaginable. It's so gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. I was just being facetious.
I agree. I think, you know, the idea of having something like this more so for higher level games, I think would be interesting. I think it's tough because, like, you obviously need to have, like, summoner name anonymity. And I think that would be, like, I don't think it would be, like, probably good for the game as a whole, but God, would it be so fun for me if I could, like, build a system like this where, like, summoner name is anonymous, and I, like, for every one of these people doing this, I feed, you know, like, a sample of their own games that they were reported for and, like, see if they punish themselves.
Is this something that, like, people want to spend their time doing anyway? Like, only... if this existed, do you guys think you would do it? Because I don't think I would spend any time.
I did Tribunal when it existed.
What are you lower?
Wait, what was the question?
Answer the question.
What are you lower?
Oh, I was like bronze, man.
Okay, I might have to cut this out. I don't know. What do you guys? I was gonna say only lows would do it.
Only lows would do it. I don't know. Maybe.
It's true. Like, I'm thinking of, like, when I was a young Aiden, dude, and I was silver 4 or bronze 1, I really enjoyed it because I was doing my part.
It's the fucking Starship Troopers. I'm doing my part.
I don't think I need to cut.
I think also, though, like, they could build a system that makes it, like, better. Like, I'm thinking, what if, particularly if you're, like, you're going to be in a long queue, right, where it's just like, hey, instead of having a variable like 90-second to 4-minute queue, it's like it's just going to be 3 minutes, and everybody in this queue is going to do a case while that 3 minutes goes. Like,
all right, everyone in this lobby gets the same case, and
whoever gets it right, you start with 500 more gold.
You don't get to enter the game until everyone completes their mandatory.
I mean, it would have to be opt-in.
You gotta clock in, guys. You haven't done your hour today.
I don't know.
It's like dailies, but it's punishing players for telling people to kill themselves.
I think there's a way that you could do the system. Better,
no, there is. Yeah,
I also don't know if we need it. If we need it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah. I mean, I. This obviously would be good for the game. I just don't know if it's something that is doable.
I'm curious how many people knew that it existed at one point.
Yeah. I also think it would be, like, another thing. It would be so fun to have access to these stats of, like, if you could go and see how many reports you've, like, filed and what percentage of them resulted in action. Mm-hmm. Like, that would be so interesting if I could see that on my profile. It'd be like, you've reported 3,000 players and 400 of them have been punished.
They used to have a way, I think they removed it, where you could enter in your name in Riot support and it would tell you if you've been reported in your last 20 games.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys think, first of all, do you guys think you've been reported in your last 20 games?
I don't think so. Certainly.
I think I certainly have. Aiden is toxic as fucking ARAM. That's one thing.
Someone added me and told me they reported me.
So yes, confirmation.
I don't know. I don't think it's possible in my experience, like in like high diamond, low master elo, to play 20 games without being reported, even if you play like very well every game.
Yeah.
I don't think it's possible. Like, I think like I because I know I've been reported so many times in games where I'm like fucking 2-1-8 and it's like what is the issue here? Like, my fucking top laner dies 1v1 and starts pinging me as the support. Like, why weren't you here?
What do you think is your report success rate or your report accuracy rate?
0.
Because I've for sure reported people that.
Oh, my own?
Like.
Okay. I
thought you yeah.
People get punished for, like, that you're.
So you report people, right? Sometimes it's a legitimate report. Sometimes it's, I don't like this player, or they inted Baron or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, what is your, this report is legitimate accuracy?
Because
I think mine is sitting at like a cool 60%.
I think about 80% of the time when I report someone, I believe they should be punished. I think probably about 20% of the time they actually are.
Oh, I think 100% of the time they should be punished. I just don't think 100% of the time they actually deserve to be.
Yeah, yeah. No, I always, whenever I report someone, I want them to get punished.
Yeah, but like, are you legitimately thinking, like, what they did was a bannable offense is my question, right?
No, sometimes I'm thinking, like, oh, Riot Games, you've left this character in such a, like, strong state for so long, I've reported this player for cheating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes I report them and I say that they did something and I go, hopefully it just false flags them.
You've done a couple of those recently, I would say.
Yeah. But hey, it's never worked, but one day it will, and I'll be excited.
You guys are good
excited.
People.
Yeah.
Thanks for the email, Man Mannington. I'm going to go into the next one from Casey Stranger. Howdy, LeagueCast. I'm writing because I think that I might be that rare person who became less physically and mentally well after quitting ranked. Here's the thing. I'm an old man, age 36. I need to stay in good physical condition to keep up in rank.
This is Casey Stranger, by the way.
I said that.
He said it.
I thought you said Man Mannington.
No.
No, he said, thank you, Man Mannington. Oh. This next email is from Casey Stranger.
God, I'm just going to edit it so I'm right.
Aiden hasn't read emails in fucking 6 years, and he thinks
whatever, I'm just going to edit. Guess what? All this is not going to be in the show. So
actually, it is, because I wrote the script for the show, and this is part of the script.
Oh, we got you there.
Editor can't stop me. That's not in the script, Aiden. It's not.
Director's cut of LeagueCast. You get
I'm calling Chris.
Release the Rock Arts cut.
Oh, boy. Okay. I need to stay in good physical condition to keep up in rank. So while I was grinding for gold, I improved my sleep discipline, exercised more, took more walks outside, and greatly cut back on caffeine. But now I'm taking a break from ranked for other games, and I'm back to drinking a full French press every day, sleeping a little bit less consistently. I'm definitely joking a little bit as I say this, but it's still interesting on me to reflect about how valuable it was for me to have a goal. It made me care about my health in ways that I simply didn't before. I think we often talk about League in the lines that it's a game and it should just be fun. And while that's not entirely wrong, I think we all know that ranked in particular is not always fun. But for me, at least, it was very valuable and satisfying to have a goal that I cared about and worked towards. So I guess my question is this. I'm claiming ranked can be good for you. Are you buying it, Casey Stranger?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly can. I mean, you've laid out a good situation for it. I think, right, like, any of those systems you put into place to make you better at League are just generally probably making your life a little bit better, and that hopefully you have goals other than League of Legends that you would continue doing those things for, at least to some degree, to like keep those good habits rolling.
Yeah, but I'm super, like, goals oriented myself, just for context, and I, like, if I don't have a goal, I don't get shit done. So, like, for example, I am hoping to, in like the summer, start running again, and I think the way I'm going to keep myself doing it, because I always fall off, is I want to do like a 10K or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sign myself up for good. One. And by the time like it comes around, I'm going to hopefully have been running a bunch, or else I'm not going to be able to do it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think like goals orientation is very natural for people, and it's good. And I think, yeah, like I think there's a lot of situations where people have had a less than ideal goal, or like a thing that maybe a lot of people wouldn't see a lot of value in. For example, let's say like grinding for gold, right? Where from like an outside perspective, it's like, wow, that doesn't matter at all. But the steps they take to get there end up really improving their life. So in this case, like, you know, getting better sleep, better diet, all that stuff. Right. Like I think for an example of like, maybe like, oh man, I really want to drive a Ferrari, right? Like as an actual life goal, that's pretty fucking meaningless. But if I like then started working really hard at my job and got like a bunch of promotions that like, and focused on improving myself, like, oh yeah, that's a lot of good. That's a side benefit from that like pretty bleh goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you, Casey Stranger. Our next email is from Bardmain. Hey, me Bardmain. Me think I'm interesting. Me join podcast. Bardmain.
Sorry, Bardmain.
Whoa, no. It's wild because we got this email 12 years ago from Nick Cooper and it worked.
It's funny because I was so close to just hitting reply yes, but Aiden stopped me. No, I mean, maybe we haven't addressed this like recently, but we think that three is like the sweet spot for hosts. And while we're not opposed to like having guests on every once in a while, it's also, I don't know. It's also nice because this is a way for us to catch up with each other as like a, you know, way to talk and hang out every week.
I also just like, I like certain people more. And there's like only like one person currently that I think I would like to have on the show other than Nick and Colton. So, so yeah, that just happens naturally.
Yeah. It's hard. It's one of these things where realistically, if you want to be on like anything, if you want to participate in anything with any content creator, not just us, but like, I don't know, someone more, you just have to hang out with them and be chill, you know, just like,
yeah.
Be friends with them first, and then, you know, if that pops up organically, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, and, like, also, like, participate in the community, right? Like, I think the guests we've had on the show between, like, Dan Man and Pards, like, are active members of the community, like, that we talk with a lot and, like, get to know them and know their thoughts on the games and how they interact with people.
I mean, that's how all of us were on the show, right? Aside from, I guess.
No, I'm a nepo baby.
Nepotista, yeah. But Aiden and I both started out as listeners, and we hung out in the then TeamSpeak server that the host had and became friends with them. And when they ended up, you know, leaving the game, then we took over. And I don't know. I think that's probably the path for most people to become more involved with their, you know, favorite products and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's how fucking, like, watch, like, any content creator, like, guess what? How people become editors, they start just editing stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like, yeah, you just start doing stuff, right? You start hanging out with people.
Hell yeah. Final email.
Thanks, Bardmain.
Is from Big Mike. Hello, LeagueCast crew. I am a top lane tank player, and my vision score is woeful, usually hitting just 13 a game. What are some tips to improve vision score throughout the game? Place your trinket.
Aiden, I've told you before that like you don't have to send in emails. You can just bring it up on the show.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like you have limited opportunities to actually increase your vision score as a top lane player, and especially as like a top lane tank player, where you probably don't have, you know, prio in the lane, and you know, you're gonna be pushed in a lot of the time. So I don't know. I also don't necessarily think that it's like vision score is not indicative of like a crazy good game, because a lot of it can really be meaningless vision score. If I put a ward like in the middle of bot lane that, you know, gets vision score every minute, that doesn't do anything, but it does pump up my vision score.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think like once again, I'm someone who doesn't build wards, right? Like, I notoriously didn't build a single pink ward in my entire time playing top last season, and I did fine, right? So, like, top lane is interesting because there are there's value of building vision, right? Like, I'd be crazy to say otherwise. That being said, a lot of value from vision can be done in other ways for top lane, right? Like, if you just understand jungle pathing, right, you understand, oh, they started red side, so they'll be top lane in at 3 minutes, right? Then you don't need to, in theory, put down that ward right away, right? Like, you in theory can save that ward and like use it other places. You don't have to buy like whatever. There's like tons of things like that. So I don't know. It's just like, I don't know. Like, I'm rambling a little bit. Like, I hope you understand. Like,
no, I
don't think it's super necessary. It's just like, obviously, it's still good to have.
For sure.
It's good to have. It's not super indicative of like how you played that game. And I think to your point that you made kind of at the end there is that the value you get from good vision, you can also just get most of that information by understanding the game well and what players want to do, right? Like, if you took T1 and you, none of them are allowed to use their trinket, they're not allowed to place any control wards, right? Like, they still die to way less ganks than like a bronze mid laner who has infinite wards. Right? Like,
if you did that
where it's like one team has no trinkets and the other team all their trinkets are on half cooldown, like if that's a silver versus challenger game, the team with wards still dies more, right? Like, to ganks and, like, is not positioned properly around objectives.
Yeah, I wanted to do a custom game because we don't have the tools, so we can't do it. So it'd be fun to talk about where, like, it's a team of, like, silver bronzes versus a team of, like, emerald diamond players. But the bronze-silver team has full vision. Like, they have god mode vision. They can see the enemy team when they're exiting their base.
Interesting.
Right? And
that'd be sick.
I think the Emerald Diamond team wins. Like, isn't that crazy? Like,
yeah. And I think even, that makes sense. Like, the version of that game mode we could do is just, right, like, a little bit less of a gap is, right, just, like, one team isn't allowed to place any wards all game, right? Like,
and you put a sticky note over your minimap.
The other team is streaming in Discord.
Dude, that's actually so sick. Yeah, they can
I'm gonna tune into the jungler.
Wait, that's actually so sick. You still all sit in the same channel, but like you meet each other so you can't hear each other, but they can watch your stream of where you
that would be pretty cool.
I might do that. That sounds fun. Okay.
Or you could have like somebody on your team like calling stuff out as well. Because I think it is gonna severely impact your play if like you have to look on another monitor to see their screen.
Yeah, for sure.
That's true.
But like, yeah, I don't know, like vision sure is really important when all other things are equal, but if all things are not equal, vision is not the place where you need to be paying attention, right? Like, the reason Faker wins mid lane isn't because he's better at warding, it's because he fucking is better at the game. Warding is the eighth layer of that interaction.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. That'll do it for this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to send us an email, it's mail@leakcastpodcast.com. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/kinglardoutbluebasket and leakcastfrost. Visit our website, leakcastpodcast.com. Join our Discord server, discord.gg/leakcast, and support us on Patreon, patreon.com/leakcast. Once again, thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Adios.
Bye.